Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. And together with our supporters, we're pleased to bring you this program on CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec and beyond. Some words from Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting One, your power is incomparable, your majesty infinite, your love beyond our imagining. You are hidden in mystery, and yet so present. In a hectic world, you are peace and rest. In a harsh world, you are tenderness and mercy. In the cold and dark of winter, you are light and comfort. And so we bring to you our worship, our praise, our prayers. for you are the one who created us. You are the one who in Jesus has redeemed us. And you are the one who by your Spirit gives life to all who believe and trust in you, our one and only God, to whom we offer our love and loyalty, now and always. Your loving kindness endures forever, and so we confess to you our sin. God, whose name is love, we confess our faults and failings, knowing that you know us through and through. You tell us that love is patient and kind, and you know when our patience and kindness fall short. You tell us love is never rude or selfish, and you see the times we insist on our own way. Forgive us the excuses we make to ourselves when our love falters. Strengthen us by your Spirit so that our love would be genuine and reliable. Scripture says, God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins. Thanks be to God, whose love and forgiveness are steadfast. May we be steadfast in our forgiveness of one another. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week, we thought about Jesus beginning his proclamation of the coming of the reign of God. It was the publication of his manifesto. He was inaugurating the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God. We thought about that in the context of Donald Trump's inauguration as President of the United States and thinking ahead to what might lie ahead in the political life of Canada in the coming year. And so we continue the Jesus story in Luke chapter 4 at verse 21. Jesus began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" "Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen. Can you remember in younger days going home to visit after a long time? Perhaps you've been away at school or college or wherever and were returning during a break. Or maybe you'd gone away a longer time, maybe married someone, had kids, established a home and career of your own, and you go back to visit. And yet they treat you like a 12-year-old. They pour you milk, tell you when it's time to go to bed. It's not really their fault. That's how they remember you. They don't know the places you've been, the things that you learned, the relationships you formed along the way. They don't know about the person you've become. In their eyes, you're still the little boy or girl who used to sit and bounce upon their knee. And you are. But you're also a whole lot more. Jesus has been away from Nazareth and got baptized, spent some time in the desert, wrestled with demons, listened to the voice of God. And now when he comes back home again, he's filled to overflowing with the vision of God's brilliant new world. He tries to share it with people who can't see beyond themselves, and no wonder he runs into trouble. It was the Sabbath day, and Jesus, like any pious Jewish person, was in the synagogue, and the folks at Nazareth were glad to see him there.
"Oh, look, Betty, isn't that Mary and Joseph's boy? He's been gone a long while. But look at him now, all grown up. I think he's going to speak."
And Jesus took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read it aloud. "Good news to the poor," he said, "release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. This," said Jesus, "is the year of God's favour." And never before had they heard those words spoken in such a way. There was hardly a dry eye in the house, perhaps. Everyone said it was the best service they'd been to in years, and it gave them a lift, sent you home with a feeling that maybe things would go a little better this week. And maybe they all lined up at the door to greet him. "Nice sermon, Jesus. So good to have you back. You done good, boy." Now, any preacher will tell you how nice it feels to receive those kinds of compliments. And I hope that you'll give encouragement to your minister or pastor or clergy. Encouragement is good because being a prophet, a spokesperson for God, can be a dangerous business. The problem was this. Jesus let it slip that God's good news was intended for all people, not just Jews, but ungodly Gentiles too. Yes, Jesus insisted, God's love extends even to the Syrians and the Lebanese, those hated enemies of Israel. And so that mood of joyful congratulation quickly shifted to one of shock and dismay. Yet Jesus didn't back down. He was sure God's love extended to all people, that it was meant to go beyond the boundaries that we routinely establish. We need to be careful whenever we catch ourselves claiming to know Jesus, because there's always more to this Jesus than we think. And he'll come to us in surprising ways with a vision that is bigger, larger, more beautiful, more magnificent than we had ever imagined. The people of Nazareth had their own ideas. And as long as Jesus played by their rules, fulfilling their expectations, everything went along just swimmingly. But as soon as Jesus stepped out of line with their expectations, as soon as he said something that shook their world and challenged their preconceptions, they reacted against him violently. And the truth is that we've all tried to domesticate Jesus and make him our own. Nations have used him to support their wars. Political parties and presidents have invoked his name to rally people to their cause. And in the name of Jesus, even the churches have made pronouncements and committed acts that they later came to regret. And so in Canada, we're involved in a process of reconciliation with Indigenous people. We're beginning to come to terms with the harms that have been caused through a system of residential schools that was administered by many of the churches. This past week on Holocaust Memorial Day, we remembered how in another time and age, a race of people, God have mercy upon us, one shaped by Christian tradition and practice, decided that the love of God didn't come to all, that there were those who were outside of the love of God and deserved to be gassed and exterminated. People who limited the love of God to people like themselves who were already on the inside. If you think you can use Jesus to support your own plan and program for life, your own political scheme, your own petty prejudices, forget it. If that's what you're trying to do, he's bound to cause offence. And if we claim that our plan, our vision, our dream is the political program of God, let's take care. Jesus told stories about the bigness of the love of God. Remember, he mused, how in a time of famine, God's prophet Elijah gave food to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon, and another prophet, Elisha, gave a Syrian, an official member of the royal court, a cure for leprosy. On another occasion, Jesus once shared a drink and so much more with a Samaritan woman, someone with whom he ought not to speak, far less share a drinking vessel with. And the disciples marvelled at his generous grace that he should share such a vessel with such a woman. But why? It's only by the generous grace of God that any of us draw near to God and God draws near to us. God draws close to us not because of our history and heritage, our routine and ritual, our tradition and our trappings, but because of the richness of his grace in Jesus Christ, a grace that cascades and overflows to all. If there isn't space for the Syrian and the Sidonian and the Samaritan in the love of God, then how do we know that there's space for us? If God does put some people on the outside, is there space for us? In this text, God in Jesus means for you and I to feel graciously pursued. God is seeking a gracious relationship with you and I, not because we do the right things, but because God has done the right thing. And those who wrote up that story said, "We've seen Jesus' glory, glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we," and we might put in the words, "we, proud, angry, critical, lustful, greedy, worldly, lazy, fearful, unrelational people, we have all received grace upon grace." God's love opens us to love one another and to love God and to a bright new world where ancient hostilities are put to rest, where the poor receive good news, where captives are set free from things that keep us in bondage, where the blind can see new things, and where the year of God's favour takes on a fresh new meaning. Amen. Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you are a safe haven and a tower of strength, and your love will never end. From the womb of creation, you brought forth the earth, and before any of us were born, you chose us and loved us into life. You put words in the mouths of your prophets, that we might glimpse your truth, if only in part. Fulfilling the words of the prophets, your Son Jesus came, and in him we have seen you face to face. When his passion would not be tamed, his own people were filled with rage and handed him over to be killed, but you raised him back to life. Now and forever, his love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and in his love, the wholeness of all things is coming. We thank you today, O God, for showing us the nature of your love in your love for us. We thank you, God, for loving us when we are unloving, for caring for us when we are uncaring, for calling to us when we go far away. Help us, dear God, to love one another in this way. We thank you, God, for urging us to share. We thank you for teaching us to trust and to dare. Help us, God, to be compassionate and fair. Help us to forgive and to be patient and to care. For your people everywhere, the body of Christ, and especially for the congregations that we know and are part of or are connected to, help us to love those around us as Christ loves us. And we pray that the reality of your love may become clear in the hearts of those we want to name before you, for those in particular distress. Some of them are known to us in illness and suffering and pain, and others we don't know their names, but we know their situations as they're caught up in war and conflict and in the kind of circumstances that cause people to move from one country to another. Lord, hear our prayers, for we ask these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our brother and our friend, who in love gave himself for us and for our world, teaching us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.